Bio-Friendly Podcast. It's the Bio-Friendly Podcast.
I love how Veronica kind of rushed you there.
She's like, one, two, one. Let's go.
No.
Time is money.
She's such the producer right now.
Oh my gosh.
She's not only rushing your 3-2-1. Yeah. Like three, two, one. But also she's looking at the shot on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got this like very discerning, like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Exactly.
I feel like you guys are ugly.
Yeah. Yeah. She is a tough producer.
Tough producer.
Really tough.
Oh, do we look bad on the screen?
No.
Do
you look-
That wasn't convincing. That was the most unconvincing.
That's the kind of no that makes you realize your wife has been sleeping with someone
else.
Yeah,
I know. That's the no when you go, does this outfit make me look fat? No. Or, you know, like, what do you think of this hat? Yeah. It's great.
It's so good.
The longer the compliment, the more in trouble you are.
The brim on the hat is really
it's nice.
There.
It's elongate.
Yeah.
Elongate.
Yeah.
What do you think of the dinner I made for you? It's good.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You added potatoes.
Yay, I love those. So much cheese.
I love potatoes.
So much cheese.
So much avocado.
Avocado cheese bites is what we're going to make for Noel. What's another thing we could add in there that you like? Avocado cheese bites.
Avocado cheese bites would be really tasty for me.
Yeah, yeah.
I think what
on else? Sushi.
On sushi. So on avocado sushi cheese bites.
Mmm. Mm.
Yeah.
They just opened around the corner. Yeah. Let's go tonight.
And it'll have seaweed on the sushi for sure.
Mm.
And the most raw tonguey fish you can find.
Tonguey fish.
Yeah.
It's a very rare species. They just kind of go through the water just like...
That's the kind of fish that really gets me going when I go to the sushi place.
Oh, of course.
When you're chewing on it, I'm like, oh, am I chewing the food or am I chewing on my own
right,
tongue?
Right. You don't know if you're eating the food or you're eating your face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do like sushi, as we all know.
Yeah.
Very supportive of the sushi cause.
Such a big fan. I've been to eat sushi with Noel multiple times now.
Yes.
And he always goes, it's great.
I do the Veronica.
He does. Yeah, just the Veronica.
Wow.
Yeah.
So good.
A lot of people don't know this, but Ronnie not only produces the show, but she holds up cue cards.
Mm-hmm.
This entire show
is all scripted.
Scripted. Yeah. We write this out.
Yeah.
Everything. It's
all the little banter, the improv.
Very detailed.
The moments that we have back and forth. Yeah. Like this, how it seems like one of us is cutting the other off.
Yeah.
How one of us gets like upset that the other one's cut them off. That's all part of the show.
Look, we're going to pull back the curtain right now. We are not as amazing improvisers as we've put on for 4 years now.
No.
We rely upon teleprompters and cue cards to give us the bits, give us the jokes. And really, it's all just the great writing staff.
Every has been meticulously thought out.
Meticulously thought out.
And added for effect.
Every is intentional.
Yes.
Every hesitation and pause. Every Goldblum.
Every Goldblum.
Every yes.
What's this on your foot? Oh, what is this? How does your husband feel about this?
I was telling Noel recently, if you guys have never seen Jeff Goldblum's show where he, the world according to Jeff Goldblum, it's very charming because he's always like loving life. But there's this new series right now called The Reluctant Traveler with Eugene Levy from Schitt's Creek. And he is the anti Jeff Goldblum because he doesn't want to do anything and he's very uncomfortable. And I highly recommend it as like the perfect balance to the Goldblum energy. It's like...
Because Goldblum's word is literally yes.
And Eugene's is...
No. No.
I was dying laughing. No. We watched a new one last night and it gets funnier and funnier because people are kind of pushing him to do things that he just doesn't want to do. And because it's being on a show, he just kind of has to suck it up and do it. And the whole time he's like... I don't like this. It's great. So I highly recommend
this. This is something I feel like his son would have pushed him to do.
Yes.
You see them on interviews together and you could see that his son David seems to be much more like his mother in that regard.
Yes,
he seems to be like, let's go have an adventure. Let's go try this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Eugene is just not.
Not. And we were actually laughing about that last night as we watched. We were thinking about his son cackling, watching his father on the show be completely uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend it. Tangential, I know, but the reluctant traveler. And also, by the way, it is a very environmental. It's a show about being out
it's
in the
Dan.
World.
I call him David because the show.
Oh yeah, yeah,
Dan.
Yeah. That's right, Dan.
Like, it's not
Dan
David,
Levy.
It's Dan.
Yeah,
jeez, Dan. But I still know him as David.
Yeah, David from Schitt's Creek, but Dan Levy.
Dan.
It is kind of an environmental show because the one last night was Costa Rica. And you get to see these parts of the world and the cultures and how they're building up and kind of recovering. They talked a lot about like the fact that there was a lot of deforestation and how over the past 20 years, Costa Rica has kind of recovered from that and a lot of their, you know, efforts. And so it is a show that so it really fits in with the BioFriendly podcast. So that's why we'd like to welcome Eugene Levy here today on the show. Welcome,
Eugene. Welcome. Come on in. Oh, with the people for a second just lost their mind. They're like, oh my God, really?
They got Eugene Levy?
Oh, we will. One day.
One day.
We'll
guys.
Get there.
It'll happen.
We'll get there. Yeah, right before the Smithsonian calls.
The Smithsonian, they've called, but yeah. I hang up on them. They actually called during the recording.
Yeah,
all
but
that
we're
ringing.
Not ready for them yet.
No, we're not ready.
We're not ready for them. They might be ready for us, but we're not ready for them.
Agreed.
It's got to be, we've got to be both in on it.
Everybody's got to agree. Comply.
Everybody's got to be compliant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Compliant.
Yeah, that's a good, I mean, I know this is not our topic, but I think this brings up a good point.
What's that?
We talked a little bit about this yesterday around the table.
Yeah.
But I think that there is a natural balance that humans have.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So if you live in Costa Rica and you see your jungle disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the natural inclination of people when they see that, not the buttheads.
Right.
Obviously.
The buttheads clearly.
The buttheads don't care.
Right.
But the majority, like not more than the majority, like the average person.
Right.
Fights against things that they know in their heart aren't right.
Yes.
Right. That they see, they're like, this doesn't really make sense. I don't like it. And so you can see in a place like Costa Rica where it's organic that humanity fights back and says, wait a minute, I now see that we're losing our jungle.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want that. And
so,
then you actually
that.
Get people then to go in and you get enough people to be active about it that it handles.
Yeah.
So, and there just is a pushback. And I think sometimes the pendulum swings too hard and too far sometimes when this goes on. But I also think that's sort of the natural ebb and flow of humanity. This is where I come back to where I feel like people mean well, your general person, the person down the street that may have made you angry when they drove too fast to work and you know, and screeched at the stop sign or you're like, who, why, you idiot? I hate you. That person probably, if you sat down with them for a moment, is probably just like
just having a bad
just
day.
Just a fairly normal, fine person.
Yeah.
In a
yeah.
rush.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody's doing their best out there.
Yeah.
And some of them have had a rough go. Mm-hmm. And so
some people suck. Look,
yeah, it's true.
Look,
some people suck.
We know this.
Yes, we know this.
We know this.
There's a lot of reasons why they probably ended up that way. You know what I mean? Unfortunately, it was a snowball and it's been going on their whole life. And I wish we could be gracious and patient with all those people. But unfortunately, sometimes
some people have to be shot.
Some people, like me. Yeah. Like me. When I came this morning, they told me that they were going to take me to a farm where I was going to run and play and be free.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm suspicious. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is not going to go well for me.
No, why would you think no? No, Veronica and I want you
to
be at the farm
run.
Because you're so because it makes you so happy.
There's other Jacobs there too.
So many everywhere.
So
there.
Many,
so many. There's so much fun, so much space.
Oh, I can't wait,
so
guys.
So much freedom.
So glad you guys are taking
bones
me today.
Everywhere that people can throw and you can bury into the ground.
Oh,
you'll love it.
And I get poop outside.
Oh, wherever you want.
Oh,
poop inside.
Poop inside wherever you want.
You
it's
can just
yours.
Poop. It's your. It's your land.
For as much time as you want.
Yes, for as much time as you have.
Yes. Hi, Veronica. How are you doing over there?
Hi.
Chuckling away at my demise. How are you doing?
I'm good. Is my
You're on, but I don't know why.
I can't hear you.
I don't know why we can't
hear
you. But
she's making the sound waves.
Yeah,
well,
hers are small.
Fine.
I know, but that's always the
case.
Wow,
that's always.
That's always the case.
Oh, poor Ronnie.
I don't know why.
With her tiny sound waves.
I know. I don't know why.
Oh. It's okay.
I don't know why.
Don't worry. Don't
we'll fix it.
I could check to make sure.
No, that's fine.
It shows sound waves are happening.
What we
as
like
long
to
as
do
can hear
is,
me.
Is make technical corrections mid-show.
Oh, of course.
Because this is the BioFriendly podcast.
The Smithsonian would only want it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we started, streamlining this show to be perfect and everything was right, they'd go, this is not the show.
We'd lose subscribers.
We would lose subscribers, so many subscribers. They'd be like, this isn't the show.
Yeah. It's true.
No, my voice. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, this is the reason why we're going to shoot you.
I know. Because I got everybody sick.
Yeah. So Jake, well, let's be fair. Jacob, before we were going to take him to the farm. We had him in the car. He was the back window was open. Yep. His tongue was hanging out. He was having a great time. And then he happened to mention, you know how I got this cough? Well, how did you, Jakey? And she's like, Clayton. And then we realized we're killing the wrong
guy. Yeah, you're taking the wrong guy to the farm.
Yeah, we're not killing, we're taking
him to the farm.
Yeah.
We're not killing anybody. We don't kill.
No,
we don't do that.
Just take me
so we're going to go to Clayton's place.
Okay.
We're going to pick him up. We're going to say, hey, Clayton, we're going to go to the farm.
We're going to go to the farm. There's so many Claytons there.
Poop everywhere you want.
And he'll go, all right.
Yeah, he's going to love it.
Yeah.
For all the time he has.
Yeah. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, well, but that's so if you're wondering why Jacob's voice is particularly sexy, why Veronica's voice is particularly what can appropriate? I want to say the wrong.
Yeah, let's say appropriate. Kind of silky.
Silky and smooth. Mm. Right. It's because they are recovering from a cold.
Yes, we are. Yeah. Yes, we are. And I got Veronica sick, but it's all Clayton's fault.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. It's good to see you guys again. And since we are back, a lot of beautiful things have happened in our environment. Like snow has fallen on our mountains and it's gorgeous outside. Because we got snow in Southern California.
Unbelievable.
Like really low snow.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Like my wife showed me a video yesterday of snow drifting down in front of our house.
In front of your house in Pasadena, which has got to be like what? 1,000 feet elevation? That's got to be.
It might be not that high.
Like 800. Yeah, pretty low.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for those of you who live like flat sea level in California, we go way up high. And so getting snow at like maybe 2,000 feet or 2,500 feet makes some sense.
Right.
But
that's exciting.
That's exciting.
That's pretty low.
It really usually goes up to the 5,000 or 7,000 feet, the way up there stuff.
Yes.
But like getting it low, it's like, wow, that's exciting. But to get it close to, 1,000 feet, 800 feet is shocking for us.
Yeah,
we don't get that.
It's wild. It's wild. And not a lot of snow fell there and none of it really stuck.
Yeah.
It was sticking at about 1,000 for a while, I think, right? That's when you were in Montrose. Mm-hmm. You saw that. And so sticking up, that's still
impressive.
Wildly low for our city.
Yeah.
But the fact that we were getting snow drifts down at 800-700 feet is pretty
shocking.
Yeah, man. That's wild.
Stunned.
Yeah. Yeah, up on the foothills, people were seeing snow. It's crazy. Crazy. And it's beautiful now. So the sun just came out today. Sun's out, buns out. Friday. It's always Friday.
Well, we agreed that because it's cold, sun out, bun out.
Only one bun. Or the under bun is the other
option. Under cheek. Mm-hmm. Well, we've done enough shenanigans. We're going to jump into this very, very exciting, riveting topic today.
Are we riveting?
We're riveting.
Okay.
It's probably the most. No, I'm just kidding. It is green steel.
That's gonna rivet. You literally have to make rivets.
It is riveting.
There you go.
So wow.
Well done, Jacob.
Yeah. Well, puns for days. Mm-hmm. Green steel, and these again, I will say, when you read environmental stories and you read things that are environmental news, they're trending topics, and sometimes you look at them and you go, "Can we make green steel fun?" And then I look at Noel and I go, "Hell yeah." Hell yeah, we can. We're up to the challenge. We can make it fun. We can make it exciting. So let me first talk a little bit about steel. You're familiar with it, right? Everybody here knows about steel?
I'm sorry. Did you take notes?
I did.
Did you write down like notes with bullet points and a paragraph and like highlights?
I
see some like highlighted words and links and some stuff's in bold.
I researched for months.
Jacob. This is going to kill the Smithsonian thing.
They're going to be furious.
If they realize that you've gone ahead and prepared for the show, can you think about how much quality we're going to be giving?
I know. Guys, I apologize to the audience and the fans who've been there since the beginning. This level of professionalism will not be tolerated.
It will not be tolerated and shall not continue.
No, confession. This was from an article, but it wouldn't print.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So you had to do it.
I had to basically transcribe from the article.
Okay.
So
you'll still be very loose.
I'm very loose. Okay. I'm still goosey loosey.
Good.
So I still don't know what I'm doing, and that is what this show
That's
is all about.
That's what we require.
That's what it's That's all right. about. You put your facts right here, you put your lies right here, you put your guests right here, and you shake it all about. You do the bio-friendly, and you turn yourself around. Anyway, you guys are familiar with steel. It's everywhere, right? Okay. As countries around the world look to build and expand cities and infrastructure, they all have a voracious appetite for one thing.
What?
Steel.
Ooh.
I love that they said voracious.
Voracious appetite for steel.
The developers around the world have a voracious appetite.
Another tangent.
Yeah.
Do you remember when I drilled a bunch of holes in the wall because I didn't realize that they were steel?
I do. I want you to tell that story.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to get through this. It's very embarrassing.
Just tell it.
Yeah. So I got out my stud finder. I was going bloop, and there's definitely like places where there's studs on the wall here at the
right
office.
Here and right here specifically.
Couple studs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I guess sounds good. Got it. Got my studs. I put in a little, you know, and then I'm putting in my little tester hole to see, you know, make sure that that it's there.
Yeah.
And it goes right through.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And then I go to the next one. It goes right through. Like, wait, what's happening here? And stupid me, brain farting my head off. I'm all the way across. I'm losing my mind.
He's just making
I lose my
so
mind, and I put drill holes.
Holes
all the way across the wall. Like, why are there no studs?
Yeah.
And then I it dawns on me. Oh God, these could be steel studs. These
can
be steel studs.
And so it's not like wood planks, you know. It's laid out totally different back there.
God.
And so we have a wall that now looks like it's built for beekeeping.
Yes, we do. I have to do some patchwork back there.
It's
but
fine.
I'm sorry,
it's
we
fine.
Hit it. We hit it behind a gigantic television.
No one will ever know.
No one is ever going to know until they take it off and they're going
to
laugh.
Until we have to.
So I had to find some steel anchors and then get those put into place. And it was a whole process, wasn't it?
There was
a lot of cursing,
process.
a lot of dad in the backyard screaming.
Yeah, but everybody,
Clark Griswold.
Everybody who listens to the show knows that you never curse, and this was a rarity.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, it's true.
So steel was required to do that.
Yeah,
we needed steel, whatever you just called
it. I doubt it was studs.
Studs.
I doubt
studs.
It was green, though.
Yeah, it wasn't green. Probably not. Yeah. So steel is the most commonly used metal in the world today, and it's cars, airplanes, ships, washing machines, household items. Governments and industries around the world are looking to reduce carbon emissions to reach ambitious net zero targets. Steel is in the spotlight. Around 75% of steel is largely made in coal-fired blast furnaces. Yeah. Okay? So that's how we've done it up until now. In order to make, forge, do the steel work, you got to have coal fire blasted. Well, y'all know coal ain't the greatest in terms of what it's putting out into the atmosphere.
Yeah, it's
not the best.
A little dirty.
And people have really, you know, we've been getting towards renewables and there's a lot of ones, but there was a fast pressure to get off of coal, right? Mm. Like I would say coal was like the one that we're like, we can't keep burning this stuff, right?
Is that correct? I think that our official position is that if you're in the developed world,
right?
If you're in the West, if you're in China,
European cities that are very developed.
If you are in a more modern city, then you need to get off of coal because you have the financial capacity, to work your way towards that and to do it. That's our official position.
Yes, because
if you are in the developing world where the cities are smaller and there's not as much advanced technology and there's not as much money, we want you to get to the point where you can have that.
Right.
And the cheapest and quickest way to do that is probably for you to burn a bit of coal.
Yeah.
And I think that it's okay.
I agree. Because we can't be like, well, you have to invest in your infrastructure and come up with, you know, hydrogen powered. You know, these people don't have access to that. And we would love for them to get to it.
No, it's not. And the way that we treat these countries with, I go on a whole tirade about the way we lend money and then put them in debt and then force it's not easy.
It's not good.
It's not easy down there to get out of the situation they're in. And I think that I have no problem with coal-fired power plants in the developing world.
Yeah. And that is the official stance of the Biofriendly Podcast.
Yep.
But you have to use these places where you forge steel. You have to heat the furnaces above 1,000 C.
Mm-hmm.
That's how hot it has to get.
Yeah, you need a lot of energy.
Pretty hot.
Yeah.
And steel production accounts for 8% of global emissions.
Yeah.
So they even have a little graph here, which I can
And
I can
also, share. The reason it needs to be that,
yeah.
that hot is so that when you have got your burly, muscled guy
yeah.
who's got a hammer
oh, yeah.
and an anvil.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then, but also like a welding mask for no reason.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's not welding, no. but he's got to have
he's
that mask.
He's got to have it on. Yeah. And there's sparks flying.
Sparks are flying. And he's not wearing a shirt, but he is wearing an apron.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he is greased up. Soot all over the flesh.
Totally.
And just
sweat, just beating sweat, because it's so hot in there.
Glistening.
And he's just hammering.
Yes.
Ching, ching, yeah. ding, ding.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's
that
crazy.
He's building
cars with his bare
that
hands.
That is how every car you drive is built. There's a guy named, you know, Thor.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, not the superhero Thor. That's just his name. He was given it by birth.
Yeah.
And they didn't know he was going to be that big and big bearded.
Yes.
He's got a big old beard underneath that welding
He's
mask.
He's massive and powerful.
Powerful. There is a guy who's gotten famous. I think he goes by the name Thor. Hmm. He's gotten famous online because he cuts giant.
Wood.
You've seen
I've
it.
I've seen it.
Every woman has this reaction. Every woman has this reaction. He cuts giant pieces of like wood logs. Yeah, yeah. And they're huge.
Yeah.
And his arms
with his bare hands.
He takes the hatchet.
Yeah.
And the effort of...
Is it a hatchet or is it a full axe?
I mean, full axe. Full axe. Sorry. Sorry. Not
say,
no.
He hatchets this thing? Jesus, how strong is he?
I didn't mean hatchet. Full on axe. And he does like a... He winds back and you can see just splitting the thing is a feat unto itself. And every time he takes a strike, by the time he does like five strikes, he's like gassed because it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
But he splits these logs. And the ladies swoon over this dude. Like he is
because he's built.
He's just
stacked.
He literally the core demographic are women who like to watch him tear logs apart. That is the thing.
And I've seen him shirtless with the
Of course.
You poor thing.
He is you
Speak
poor
directly
thing.
Into the microphone though.
Miserable. You've seen him what?
From shirtless with just an apron or the what are they called?
It's a bib.
The ones that they put, oh my god!
A pocket protector.
He's got a bib and a pocket protector. His name's Poindexter, and he's one of the nerds.
Yeah, but boy, can he split?
Boy, he can split wood.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So anyway,
she keeps moving the microphone away from her face.
She's getting redder and redder too. It's so cute. So back to steel. So there is a graph here that shows how many energy emissions. You've got three things listed: chemicals, steel, and cement. Steel is definitely at the top.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to figure out ways to do it. So what is even green steel? Well, that's changing the method that we're making the steel from coal to something else, okay?
Right.
So essentially green steel is manufacturing the steel without the use of fossil fuels. So-called green hydrogen is one solution. So there's a couple solutions they're coming up with that could help reduce the steel industry's carbon footprint. So here's a quote. When burned, hydrogen emits only water. And if that hydrogen is produced via electrolysis using just water and renewable electricity, then it is completely free of CO2 emissions. According to Mitsubishi Heavy Industries Group, hydrogen can also be low carbon if produced using fossil fuels and carbon capture, utilization, and storage. This is known as blue hydrogen. So there's different colors now with green and blue hydrogen. And
yeah, it just depends on how you're getting the hydrogen.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of ways. And we talked about this in past episodes.
We did. We did an episode completely on green hydrogen.
But just to give people a very quick reminder, it depends on how you're making the hydrogen. Are you making it the old-fashioned way by creating energy with fossil fuels, or are you doing it with by using energy that's been made with zero emission technology, right? Like you can take the power from a solar, a solar plant or a panel, or from a windmill, and then when that instead of putting that onto the grid, you just turn that immediately, right on site on the place, you turn that into hydrogen.
Yeah.
So that's the idea. If you're doing it that way, well, then they call that green hydrogen because you're not using any emissions to make it, right?
Right.
So, and then that green hydrogen can then be used as energy and it burns very cleanly.
Right.
To do other things. So,
yeah.
But the most, common, then the cheapest way to make hydrogen is by using a whole lot of fuel.
Right, right. Because right. it has a chart here. It says there's gray hydrogen.
Yeah, that's the most common.
Most common, which says natural gas to make the hydrogen. That's how you do it. Then it says blue hydrogen is natural gas, underground storage hydrogen. I don't know if that's clear. Underground.
Yeah, yeah. So
I don't know if I'm referencing that correctly, but it just says there's a picture here.
Yeah,
I'll put the picture here so you can see what I'm talking about.
We can look more into that and get back to you.
You want to get back on that another time? Okay, no problem. But it says green hydrogen, and then it says pink sparkle hydrogen, which is actually I think that's because it's unicorn powered, and that one's rare.
Right, but the cleanest.
The cleanest, but it's...
And the most powerful
the
hydrogen.
The most powerful, but pink sparkle hydrogen is not talked about enough.
No.
And I think we should look into it.
Okay.
Okay?
No, we should. Look, here's the only problem is the moment that you start to create pink sparkle hydrogen, you have the hunters coming for the unicorns that are making the pink sparkle
this
hydrogen.
This is a huge problem.
And there's a shortage of unicorns out there. So even though that is the purest and most powerful form of energy outside of the sun,
Outside the sun. Pink sparkle
that exists,
hydrogen.
You can extend life. I mean, unicorns are crazy. They're just so awesome.
Okay.
And they're real animals that exist.
They are. Yeah. We need to get Rainbow Bright on this case immediately. I think that was a cartoon character from when we were kids, Rainbow Bright.
Yes, absolutely. My sister watched the show religiously.
Yes, yes. She had like rainbow hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was a baller.
She's a baller. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows Rainbow Bright. Yeah. It says, next thing, it says, why can't all steel be green? You're asking yourself, like, why can't we just do this immediately? I want it now. I want it all green.
Yeah, a lot of people probably are.
Yeah. So it says some of the world's biggest manufacturers are planning to reduce their carbon footprint by increasing the use of all electric furnaces. But a report by the NGO Global Energy Monitor says the shift from traditional blast furnaces to electric arc furnaces is stagnant and significantly behind decarbonization targets. It says 31% of current steelmaking capacity uses electric furnaces, but only 28% of capacity under construction will use the technology.
It's difficult.
Yeah.
It's tricky. It's difficult. You need a lot of energy.
Yeah, to get that
kind
of fire.
You need a lot of energy to make that kind of heat, and it is difficult to do it with what we have right now. And so it's difficult and it's expensive, and unfortunately there is a massive demand for steel.
Yes.
So this is where the green argument has the most difficult time, right? We got to put the pressure on to improve things and make things better, but at the same time people still want their stuff. They want their homes built. They want their cars. They want their phones. They want their stuff.
Yeah, it's
and
true.
And we use so much steel. The demand for it is absurd.
Very high.
And so these companies are going to deliver it, and they don't care, right? They're going to deliver the product. And if you force them to do these other things, they're going to say, well, we can make this much doing that, but we're not going to do more than that. If you force us to do it, well, then we're just not going to make the steel.
Right.
And if they say we're not going to make the steel, well, then that puts the government in a lot of trouble because people get more angry. Mm-hmm. Like, you're looking at activist mad, which is a small group of people making a lot of people angry through their activities.
Yeah, like right? Yeah.
Yeah, by sparking them up, as opposed to legitimate madness from people who just can't get their stuff. Like,
right.
If the average person, I think that there's a misunderstanding as to how many people cause a problem, right? Like, or cause things to change.
It's true.
If you are taking away food, for instance, if you make bread too expensive,
right, right,
war starts.
Right, right.
It's not. It's like that's there. It's like you can. There's graphs that show it, and the two are related. The price of bread is directly related to war.
Yeah.
So if people can't eat, then not just people who are passionate about something, the soccer mom.
Yeah.
The regular
everyday
person
Joe.
Who's just living their life and not paying a whole lot of attention to what's happening gets mad.
Right.
When that volume of people get mad, it's catastrophic.
Right, right.
The problems are like you can't deal with the problems, people literally start killing each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like we're on the edge of being animals.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
If you take certain things away.
Like civility and the way that we treat each other, like this, the civilization, the manners, the way that we think we're so horrible to each other on social media now. Well, we're just throwing words.
Yeah. Yeah.
You think we're horrible?
Yeah.
Like what wait till you see what happens if a mom can't feed her kid.
Right.
She'll tear you apart.
Right. Right.
Literally.
Yeah.
We're animals.
Yeah.
So
survival is real.
So what happens is when people think they can't get what they need, and that happens enough, then your regular person who's not an activist and is not paying attention, which is most people,
yeah,
they get mad.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing that that's the counterbalance that I think people don't quite realize that you're up against when you're trying to do a transition like this.
Yeah.
And so this is basically the major reason. And some of it also is laziness and the fact that these companies want to make more money and it's just cheaper and easier to do it this other way. I'm not going to say that isn't. That's absolutely part of it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if they don't keep delivering the products, then insanity ensues.
No, you're right. And it goes back to actually what we said at the beginning of the show, which is this, what we think is, you know, somebody's experience. Like we were talking about people and cutting you off in traffic. It goes back to the loudest people are the ones that we see. Right. When you're on social media and you see somebody who's mad, activist mad, as you put it, or we need this energy now, we need to make this change now.
Right.
But there's a lot of people out there that their entire job, their entire income is getting steel supplies in to build, to plumb, to create something, to fix things. And those are the people that are really affected by this. And so that is the pressure is on to make the change, but we have to do it in such a way that people's livelihoods aren't threatened. And so there's a very different story, a very different narrative than being online and being mad and being loud. That's like 1% of the people that are probably not even that affected by steel being slowed down because we got to transfer everything over to hydrogen, green hydrogen, right?
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Or they would be affected, but they don't, like they're educated enough and activated enough that they don't care. They're willing to sacrifice whatever that takes, right? So that's like, that's an activist's point. Their purpose is that the problem is great enough that I need to give this much energy.
Yeah.
But that's not what most people are willing to do.
Right.
And that's the difference between the energy and the anger and then what you get. And probably why there's some frustration.
Yeah.
In not just the activist community, but I think in the greener community at large, because there is a fairly large community of people who care very much about this. But you know,
it seems like so to your point, it says the cost of green steel. In short, clean hydrogen production at scale will require billions of dollars of investment in renewable power generation. Billions. But it remains a key part of the EU's ambition to reach net zero emissions by 2050. So there's a lot of people that are investing in it. We're trying to make it happen, but they have given themselves a little bit of a runway to get there in time to be able to make these changes over. So that's a good thing.
And they have to, because here's the other problem, right? Is presently, mm-hmm. and this is being worked on too, but presently the solar panels and the windmills that you're getting aren't made with green energy either.
Right.
That's all being made mostly overseas, mostly in Asia, mm-hmm. mostly in China.
Yeah.
And it's dirty. Yeah, it's a nasty process. It's not good. Yeah. It's not clean. And they're not that high quality. They don't last that long. It's a problem that needed to be solved. That has been addressed. And we're working now on making that stuff here and making that in places where you've got a bit more of that kind of energy around. Again, I'm going to keep going back to the same thing I always go back to, which is, you know, you make it nuclear and you have all the power you need.
Yeah. It's definitely a quick fix to a lot of our problems.
Yeah. Well, I make it sound easier sometimes. That I mean, you do have to actually design and build the plants, which takes a decade. But
it would be something that would be worth looking at.
Well,
and
I think it's
in.
One of those things we got to start. We got to put that in the mix and start. Like, get it going. Right?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. But that was the kind of the initial thing, and there was at least what even sparked this whole conversation was there was an article that said the race across Europe to build green steel plants.
Cool.
So a small military town in Sweden's frozen north is on course to produce Europe's first commercial green steel. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's taking place in Sweden. They got, you know, IKEA. I gotta dish out all the good steel that's green steel.
Yeah.
So this was just a cool article about how it's becoming all the new hotness to make that green steel.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I think that's right. That fits what we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Europe is a very wealthy place.
Mm-hmm.
Europe is, I mean, we think of America as the pinnacle of wealth, but there is a ton of wealth here, but Europe is old money. Like Europe is old wealth. Europe is they've got a pretty good setup over there for how they do things. That's the first place I think where this should be happening.
Yeah.
That's where you could pull this off. You have the support, you have the education, you have the understanding of the people, I think, in a greater way than you do even here, as to what the problem is and why it's important. So that's awesome. That's where it should begin.
It'll be a good case study for us to see how they're able to implement it, and then we over here can go, well, they did it. We could do it eventually.
And that happens a lot in America. We're like, well, they're doing it in Europe. Why can't we do it here?
Yeah, you know? I mean, I could sit here and read this, but honestly, it's just a story about how this company is becoming the new. Hey, hold your call, Smithsonian. I know. It's getting
alone.
Annoying in a way. Like, I feel like it's one of those relationships that you're like, I'll call you when I'm ready.
Yeah. Do you remember we were on the Lime scooters going by the Smithsonian and they literally stepped out in front of us to try to stop? Like,
we were in DC and it was literally like, do you remember the footage of the Beatles, like in Hard Day's Night, and where they're running from the press and there's just people screaming, trying to just like touch them?
Yeah. That was the Smithsonian
employees. It was crazy. We were in D.C., and D.C., if you've been to a big city, they have these cool scooters that you can zip around on, and some are made by Uber, some are made by Lyft, but we're just cruising.
We're rolling, baby.
Yeah, what's that mile called? It's called
the mall.
The mall.
Yeah, the National Mall.
The National Mall. Yeah. So we're zipping along on there, and we passed by the Smithsonian, and just out droves of people screaming and going, Biofriendly,
Biofriendly. Crying on their knees.
Crying.
I can't believe we're here.
It was unbelievable. I was embarrassed for them.
I was.
I was like, you're the Smithsonian.
Have some
self-respect. For God's sakes. We're just two guys. And then the crazy
thing
was...
But we did wear those mustaches and newspaper out.
It cut to a montage of us on a park bench with mustaches and like hats and trench coats. And then we lowered them like this. They realized it was us. And then we had to run.
We had to go.
And then there was a scene, like a statue scene. And you and I were posing as if we were part of the statue scene. And they ran past.
And then we got up and ran the other direction.
It was a bunch of shenanigans.
Crazy.
And then the craziest part was they got us backed into a corner. We were in an alleyway. And we were standing there
That's right.
And they were like, they were looking at us and we're like, this is it. I was holding Noel's hand as if it, you know, this is the end. We're going to get swarmed. Yeah. And they said, say hi to Veronica for us. And then they left.
And that was it.
And they were chasing us the entire time.
Because they wanted Veronica.
They wanted to talk to Veronica.
It wasn't even us.
And I felt really embarrassed because we made a big deal out of it and it was all for nothing.
We thought it was us. Yeah, we were wrong.
Wow.
We were wrong. But the Smithsonian says hi.
I
have to tell her. After all, we forgot to tell her.
Veronica, we forgot to mention the Smithsonian says hi.
So embarrassing.
But they're you know, some of the chart, like you nailed it, by the way. Look at that graph right there. It says China.
Yeah.
It's just so much right there in terms of the production of this. So
yeah, it's the nature of the nature of people. If I can't see it, it's not happening.
Yeah.
Right? If it's not near me, it's not real. Yeah. And I think that we feel like look, in terms of the emissions that we create in the US and in Europe, man, they've come down so much.
So much.
So much.
Yeah.
But the problem is that the trade off is that they've moved over to Asia, mostly China.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's still a horrible problem.
Oh yeah.
And if we don't start to confront that, even where we live here and start to look at, okay, well, we've got to find a way to economically and effectively make this stuff where we are.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have to ship it so far. So we have to transport as much. And because we have the will and the resources to do it, like we do have to take more responsibility for it.
Yeah.
And I think you actually do see regulation that's moving towards that in this country. And you do see an interest, I think even from, we give them a hard time, but even from the corporations to go ahead and get some of this done here.
Yeah.
The problem is that they know they're making their bacon by what they can get made cheaply in other parts of the world.
Yeah.
And that's on us for being such consumers.
Yeah. I know it's not even the same topic, but I saw a graph that was talking about the world's plastic pollution and made it on this graph. Excuse me. Sorry about that. It made it look like the U.S. was so good because it was showing all these third world countries.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, that's our trash. That's our stuff over there. You know what I mean? Like this graph, I was like, these countries, while producing their own level of waste, a lot of like US and other, we're shipping things off to other people and other, our waste elsewhere. And so once we kind of take responsibility, I think that's a huge thing about manufacturing here, taking care of our own waste here, generating our own energy here, being responsible for your own stuff.
Yeah. Huge. We get to live like this on the backs of people elsewhere.
Yeah.
And I don't,
ain't that the truth?
I don't think that we fully come to grips with that.
Yeah.
In the West.
Yeah. Right? And even activist culture of this kind of yelling about stuff isn't taking into account a lot of those details. You know what I mean? I mean, some are, don't get me wrong. There are activists that are fighting for the rights of others and wanting that to stop. But there's just such a black and white conversation of like, it has to be this or nothing else. And you have to factor in, there's a lot of things in place that need to be fixed before we can do what you're asking for.
Right.
Right.
I think in any successful culture, you need activism. Like you do. You need people who are looking at things and being passionate about it and screaming about it and protesting and doing it. I do think that that's important because it does drive you towards looking at some things, right? Right.
It's true.
I think the problem that we have is perspective. I think that a lot of times we particularly now, I feel like we might be giving a little too much credence towards everything that's being said in activist culture. Yeah. And not that a lot of it isn't important and valuable. I think a lot of it is, but I do think that people get carried away, particularly people who aren't necessarily the ones in charge. Because oftentimes these causes are started by people who have been very thoughtful about it and who know, like they have a plan and they want to go with it. But part of when you're trying to get something done is you want help. You want people to join. And so you'll start to let everybody join. Like, let's go. Let's do, anybody wants to be here?
Yeah.
But once you have something that's basically free to join, come help, please, then you're going to get idiots.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to get people that have lost the cause. They've lost the point.
And
yeah.
So I think that one of the things that goes against activist culture and kind of is one of the problems that you deal with if you're kind of a more sensible, passionate activist is that you've got a moron. Yeah. Who's sitting there beating people up?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And really working against the cause.
Yes, who's like literally doing, like missing the point.
Yeah.
And not necessarily very well educated. They just want to scream.
Yeah, yeah.
And you get enough of that going, and then that causes problems. And I just think it's one of those things you have to keep it in perspective and you have to keep things in balance.
Yeah.
That's my feeling on it.
Yeah. But no, I think you're right. I think you're right. But I think we made green steel fun.
Wow.
I mean, riveting.
I was riveted.
Riveted. Yeah. So many rivetings.
Yep, I was.
Yeah. Yep. So it's one of those things that I'm sure you could look into where you're getting your things from. And there's probably manufacturers out there that are saying, hey, we're working towards that. All the stuff that you're buying from us is being made without coal. And I bet you places like IKEA, you know, being from Sweden, they'll probably be one of the first ones that you'll go in and they'll probably have signs and say, like, all this is made from, you know, green hydrogen steel. And that's great. So if you feel like supporting that line of business, then you can. But it's okay.
We don't know that, though. So don't go running to IKEA assuming
I can't. That is not. That is allegedly, like, I'm just guessing off the top of my head. But
it's probably hilarious. Someone goes, hey, this isn't green steel.
Yeah, right.
I was told by the
Beverly Podcast. Well, I told you. I don't know what I'm talking about, and I'm guessing.
Right.
No, but there...
It's an educated guess.
There are probably companies that will advertise it loud and proud that they're making their steel with green hydrogen or green methods. That you'll hear about it.
Yeah,
so if you want, support them.
And I think it's unrealistic to believe that when you have to heat something up to a massively high temperature in order to smelt it or to work with it, that there isn't going to be an emissions cost forever, no matter what we do. There is.
Yeah, always.
But I think that the more we can reduce it, the better.
Yeah, and whoever smelt it dealt it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's what they said. That's what Thor said.
Thor said it.
Yeah. Because that's what when he was hammering on the anvil.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
he said,
he's like, I smelt it.
I dealt it.
They had it over and I dealt it.
Yes,
whoever smelt it, dealt it.
They probably didn't say that when you were growing up in school, but if you smelled the fart, the saying was, whoever smelt it, dealt it, like you were the one who farted if you smelled it first. And so that was definitely
usually said by the person who farted.
Yeah, usually you'd literally be sitting there and you'd go, oh, did somebody fart?
And whoever smelt it dealt it. And that means I'm the one who farted.
Yeah, totally. The one who says it is the one who's trying to pin the blame on everybody but themselves.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the kind of tone that I want to go out on today on the BioFriendly Podcast.
Farts.
Yeah. So we are going to wrap it up.
Yes. Oh, God. We have tags, and I know.
I know. It's well, unlost. She might have them written down.
I'm completely.
You do. I know we have the new one about 200 years ago, about how long we've been podcasting. Yeah. But there was a newer one after that, and it had to do with what?
Science.
It had to do with science.
Oh, God.
Okay. Science is cool.
No.
Science isn't cool?
Science without
borders.
Oh no.
There he goes again.
I remember it now. It's science without
reason.
It was serious without the something.
Science without the
stiffness.
Science without the stiffness.
God. And green without the groaning.
The groaning. That was it. Science without. That's a long tag.
It's a good tag.
Yeah, it's good. Science without stiffness. Green without the groaning.
Oh wow, that's a good tag.
Yeah. So that is a good tag. Woo! So we gotta remember it.
Okay.
So before we get out of here. So hold on to it in your brain.
Oh, God.
I forgot.
Thank you for watching the BioFriendly Podcast or listening to the BioFriendly Podcast. Please subscribe if you don't already. Tell your uncle, your aunt, your cousin, your brother, your friend, your enemy. Send it to them and say, if you don't subscribe to this, you clearly don't love me. Tell them that.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You can say that Jacob said.
Jacob said that if my friends don't subscribe, they don't love me.
They don't love me. Yeah. And so you need to do that immediately. You need to go comment. You need to go tell everybody that this is the coolest environmental podcast you've ever heard in your life, because we end the show with farts. We start out the show with, I don't even know what we were talking about at the start of the show. We're talking about something.
I think
something about Thor.
We're talking about splitting logs.
Smelting,
delting. Yeah. So all sorts of stuff. All while you learned about the process of green steel. And we had some very smart sounding things, mainly from this guy.
I think we all sounded smart. Well, you're
definitely.
Well, I talk a lot, which means that I can get corrected a lot too. I can have all the fact checkers tell me where I'm wrong.
That's true. Fact check Noel. Yeah. So thank you for joining us again this week. We couldn't do the show without you. Continue to support and share it, and we love you so much. Find us on social media. Send us topics and ideas that you want to talk about, and we will hit them hard.
Sword.
We have been your beacon of light in a gloomy environment.
Podcasting since 1823.
That's right. Science without the stiffness. Mm-hmm. Should I do it all in one?
It's one tag.
Okay. But it feels unfair because it's such a good one, and I want you to be able to say part of it.
Okay, let's do it then. So how about we split it?
So okay. I'm going to go science without the stiffness.
Green without the groaning.
See, that feels good.
Wow, that does have a
right. Right? Right? Because it's like, it's kind of Bert and Ernie.
That's Bert and Ernie.
Yeah. And then Veronica says,
stop and smell the flowers.
I guess she has so much confidence in that one.
This is a question.
I love it. I love it because she literally has the right to say anything she wants.
She can say whatever.
But she wants to say this one thing, but she forgets what it is.
Forgets. And what I love is she has our tags written on a notepad,
but not hers.
Not her own. She could just write it on her pad so that she would know.
She's not on TV. She can't. Nobody knows that she's.
Stop
she's
and smell the flowers.
Oh, that's lovely.
It's the BioFriendly Podcast. It's the BioFriendly Podcast.